You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Don't you see? It's so simple. Step one, we Google the biggest flops on Broadway. Step two, we find the crazy stories behind them. Step three, we see how they lose millions of dollars.
Millions?
Broadway isn't cheap. A lot of fancy people want to be producers. Step four, find out why the show won't go on. Step five, end this episode and head to Times Square.
Times Square? That'll never work. Only Broadway successes are in Times Square.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Let's do an intermission sode.
Okay.
Behind the scenes with Ebony and Pamela. Welcome!
What's up, theater geeks?
What is up?
Super long time.
Yeah. Like October?
Yeah.
It's
Well, I don't, in terms of releasing, I'm not sure. But I know the last time we actually recorded was October.
Yeah, was October. So it might have been like the middle of November.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lordy, guys, it has been a minute.
It really has.
And a lot happened in that minute.
It did.
Let me tell you, I got a new microphone.
Yay!
That's like a little, and it costs like maybe it was under $20.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
It's actually really good quality. You'll have to let me know. I'm looking at my levels right now, so I have to be very careful about how loud I talk. So that'll be a challenge. But I'm excited because it's hands-free.
Yeah, that's nice.
And I don't have a big mic stand in my face.
I still have a big mic stand
you
in
do.
My face.
But the good news is if you're having trouble seeing me, I can move my body around. Whoa, moving it around so you can see me. I'm going to move my mic down just a little bit because I'm seeing that the levels are rather high.
Okay.
And of course, I said that right into the mic and they were off the charts.
Oh, no.
It's cool. It'll be fine because I can do that in post.
Okay.
I can fix it.
Fix it then.
So welcome back to us.
Welcome back. It's been a minute.
I'm Pamela.
This is Ebony. This is going to be an intermission sode.
My water bottle makes a really loud noise. Wait, listen.
It is loud. It's nice. It looks like it keeps water cold.
It does. Or hot, depending on what you need in that moment.
We've been gone a while because holidays.
Holidays.
But guys, guess what huge accomplishment we made? We're recording on the Monday of months.
Yes.
Which we did not do last year. So we are really doing well,
I think so, too. Mm-hmm. I think I'm proud of us. Oh, and I've got a house full of dogs again. Sorry.
And also,
yes.
Got to meet up with the Behind the Curtain guys.
Yes. Tell me.
Well, I didn't know Kevin was in the Rebecca company.
Shut up.
I was like, dang it, I wish Pamela was here.
Oh,
yeah.
That would have been so cool to talk to him about that. Maybe we can do another crossover episode and just talk
about
Rebecca.
Yeah. Yeah, he was in that company and he
awesome.
He totally back. He was like, yeah, he found out via the article and
Well, listen, and Kevin is obviously not the friend that I had in the company, but I would love to pick his brain because my friends were, both of them were very careful about, wanting to maintain their anonymity.
Right.
Because they didn't, first of all, look, it's very easy to be blacklisted in this business. One person doesn't like you, they pass it on, and then suddenly no producers will hire you.
Right.
So I get that.
Yeah.
The thing is, they had nothing bad to say about the producer, Ben Sprecher.
Right.
They simply didn't want to malign or further malign this man who had been through such crap.
Poor guy.
Oh my gosh. I still want them to try to do another one or to do the musical based on making the musical of Rebecca.
I'm telling you that and the episode we're going to record after this one, the behind the scenes is so much more interesting.
Yes.
Although, I mean, the movie Rebecca is pretty fun kitsch.
Listen, and the book
is
great.
Great.
The book is really well written. But I will say that, like, there's this kind of like Noises Off meets Kiss Me Kate quality to a show like The Making of Rebecca.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I think it, I mean, and it's got the drama and it's got, you know.
42nd Street too. It's like three of those.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Kind of melded together.
And I'm sure there's one, isn't there? Oh, and White Christmas, where they almost got arrested backstage. Right. Oh, not arrested. They were just like, the ladies didn't have money for something.
Right. And so the guys pretended to be them.
Yes.
Yeah, they went on stage and lip synced.
Anyway, so it runs the gamut of all of the things that you need for a good show.
Yeah, it really does. Really does. Yeah. So that's a little tiny nitsy bit of what we did.
A time that you in November where you were like, "Let's record this episode," and I was like, "I can't because I have my cousins were coming into town."
So
my
cousin and Jill. That's super. It was awesome. Show we talked about.
So my cousin Jill and cousin Deanna both came into New York, and they come into New York quite often, but we've never met up at the same time before. So this was in the works for several months. I mean, these ladies are like type A, get everything done, get everything organized, all of that kind of jazz. So like we had been talking about this probably in April or May about coming. And then finally, like, we've got this group text going on saying this is the date. And I was at work at the time. So I get home and I look at all these messages that are like, "Oh, what date works best for you? Oh, well, this works best for me. Oh, and blah, blah, blah." And then like 20 messages later, they were like, "Okay, Pamela, this is the date. This is when we're coming to you." And I was like, okay. So they came the weekend leading into the week of Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. It was great. It was so fun because they were able to get me out of my apartment and into Manhattan, which is very difficult to do.
It is a feat.
But I will say also, like, the first day because they were coming from the West Coast.
Okay.
So they were 3 hours ahead.
Oh,
so
jet lag.
Yes. Yeah, so that first day that they came, I was like, "Let's just take it easy. We'll stay in you know," thinking I was being altruistic. I was like, we'll stay in Astoria. It's cool. it's no hardship for me. And I introduced them to every food place I love. Like, Sugar and Water is this donut place that opened up in August. It is so good. He makes these bespoke donuts. They are delightful. Like, he's got all these different flavors, but he's the one that cultivates the flavors. And he was talking about it. He was like, "I want to create," he's Scottish, but I'm not going to try to do the accent right now.
I would just like want to be in there to listen to the accent.
Well, he was a contestant on MasterChef.
Oh, wow.
And he made his mark on MasterChef making donuts. So that was one of the reasons why he decided to open up this donut.
Is this the only one?
He's opening like another restaurant somewhere, but I think it's going to be food.
Okay.
Who knows? I mean, this place is amazing. I know he does a lot of catering and things like large scale catering as well. But this place it's just wonderful. And I love it. So anyway, we went there and then we went to like Uncle Jack's Meat House, which is this great little meat place here in Astoria as well. Anyway, we're talking about food. So the next day we decided we were going to go see King Kong because Ebony and I talked about this. I think it was the most recent episode. I was excited about it because, well, and you were cautiously, not optimistic. You were not excited.
The puppet was awesome.
Oh my gosh.
That's all
and that's about it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to preface this by saying that those performers were giving it their all. And
this was
a Sunday. So this was the end of the week. I know how tired you are on a Sunday matinee. Right. Like, I get that. But I, you know, that there was none of that. The performances were amazing to the very back row in the ensemble. Mm. The music that started the show was very exciting. And I got, like, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it.
I'll look it up while you talk about it.
Yeah, please do. And so I was thinking, okay, this is going to be great. This is going to be fantastic. And the story is a good story. So you'd think that it would translate to the stage. It just didn't. It was so, there was no heart, which was really sad because then you got to see King Kong, who is this gigantic stage high marionette that's run by like 20 big dancer guys, and they are on point. Yeah, let me tell
you, my friend said like, I told one of my friends had seen it.
Yeah.
And I said to her, like, this is one of those moments where it's definitely, it adds to the sense of creating an ensemble Tony.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was incredible to see those guys working together, but it was also not at all distracting from him, from this beast. That part was so thrilling. And I could have done with the entire show just being him. Like, that would have been really cool to me. What was unfortunate was, and this could be that a lot of it just ended on the cutting room floor, obviously, but like a lot of this was edited out of the show for time or whatever. But there, the relationships, even the relationship between, what's her name in the show? I can't remember right now. Anne Darrow?
Sounds right.
I think it's Anne Darrow.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's the lead actress.
Between Anne Darrow and King Kong, even that was so muddied. Mm. And kind of like you saw glimpses of what it could be and what maybe it had been, but it kind of just, I don't know, fizzled out. It just wasn't there. And I guess at one point you felt hatred toward the director, who I can't remember his name either. So I guess he did his job because you're not supposed to like him very much. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think we went to like Serendipity after the show. Or no, that was a different day. But we went out to eat after the show and we were kind of talking it through. And just kind of talking, you know, about the different things that we would have done or you know, the things that I saw as a performer, as someone who's been backstage and thinking through, like, maybe this could have been done this way or maybe they had to do it this way because, you know, that kind of stuff. So that was kind of a cool conversation, but it was slightly disappointing. However, that puppet was really spectacular. So I will say that I would recommend seeing it for that. Mm-hmm. But going in knowing that the rest of it is going to be good to mediocre to good, but that puppet, when he shows up, wow. Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty much the consensus I've heard is like the puppet's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the performances are good.
They're giving it 110%. Absolutely. It's just like they don't have that much to work with.
Them.
Yeah.
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 Right, so the scores by Marius DeVries.
Probably DeVries.
DeVries?
I would say.
Who did La La Land.
Oh, La La Land. Who said La La Land? Oh. I think it was Karen on My Favorite Murder in like one of recent episodes they were doing in Minnesota. Sorry. They were doing a minisode and someone mentioned La La Land in one of the, but she said it La La Land and it made me laugh so hard because nobody commented on it. Georgia didn't say a word about La La Land, but they kept saying it or she kept saying it. It was so funny.
Yeah. Anywho. I remember that episode.
La La Land. Like, I know. I was like, did I hear her say that correctly? I don't know. And it was funny.
And then Eddie Perfect, who's doing Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice is another show.
So this
show
just
that
leads right into what we were going to. Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you, are you as excited about Beetlejuice as I am about Beetlejuice? Or is this kind of another King Kong split?
Yeah, it's probably a split. Like, I remember watching the movie a lot when I was a kid. But even the movie was like, I did not love it. Not that the movie's not. It's just not. I feel like the story's just not me.
Okay, no, I get that.
Yeah.
I think I loved it. I loved it growing up. It's one of those movies that it was very influential on my life. Stupid. But like, you know, the outsider, the one that doesn't really get along, but like that is the normal in her world. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, it was, I liked it a lot. Anyway, it's very theatrical because it's Tim Burton. So I feel like it's gonna translate to stage really well.
So the set designer is Dave Korins, who did Hamilton.
Okay.
And then the lead is going to be Alex.
Alex Bright Monster. Yeah.
It's Brightman, but Bright Monsters is like Twitter handle.
It is, I know. Yeah, I can't Bright call Monster. Him anything else.
Yeah, yeah. He was the lead in
School of Rock.
Yeah, yeah, he's great.
He's gonna be great.
He is.
Joe DeLude, who did makeup for Wicked, mm-hmm. is also doing makeup for Beetlejuice,
and
little glimpses that I've been seeing.
I haven't seen any. Like, well, I've only seen this set because I follow David Corins on Instagram.
I think the Playbill will have Alex Brightman on it as Beetlejuice. It's a really cool picture. It's like of him from the back, but looking over his shoulder, so you just kind of get a three-quarter shot of his face.
I'm like super.
I think you should be able to find it like on Playbill.com or Broadway.com.
Full of so much fun energy.
Totally.
And,
he's going to be brilliant in this.
He really is. I really do think he'll probably get a Tony nomination.
Maybe.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
Oh, School of Rock is closing. That's kind of sad.
Yeah, that closes on the 20th.
I think, yeah.
It does. But funny enough, the makeup artist who did Wicked, that leads us into the next thing because we've got the fun thing about Wicked.
We're getting really good at this podcast thing.
I mean, we're way over the time, but...
That's all right. People like listening to us.
I hope so.
You know what? And I'm going to cut out all of the dog barking. And
Alex
it'll...
Timbers is directing. That's fun.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So you put on almost a year ago to the day. When was that? The 21st?
The 21st. So it'll be Martin Luther King Day this year.
Oh, okay. So almost exactly a year ago, Ebony put on this cabaret kind of show that featured moi.
Yes, it did.
And also a cast of incredible people, including...
Brittany Johnson.
Who is... understudying Glinda right now on Broadway in Wicked, but was able to go on the other night as the first woman of color to ever play the role of Glinda.
Right. In English-speaking countries.
Right.
Is what it said.
Yes. Because so that is, you're right. Because they've got it all across the world. And
right.
Yes. But how, I mean, first of all, when I saw that she was going on, I was so excited because we're Facebook friends. But then when I realized how big a deal it was, because I guess I didn't realize that, because there have been Elphabas before.
Right, right.
But I guess I didn't think anything of it. I think she's just amazing, first of all.
Yeah, she's just like the sweet,
Working,
she's so sweet and just super talented and, she was a heavy favorite of the concert, singing Random Black Girl. And the conversations we had about, like, so if you all go to her Instagram, it's at Sunny Brittany, and you see her post. And I just, like, read her post on Instagram, and I thought, like, exactly what she was saying in that post was a lot of the conversation that we had around the song Random Black Girl. And just like her going into the different rooms and like auditioning, and even after she got into a show, like people not really understanding how black people are different shades and these other things, and how the song just resonated with her, but that like she just saw how like a year later the Lord is just kind of showing her how he opens doors, and if people are if people actually do what they say they believe in, then opportunities like this can happen for people of color.
Right.
And so, like, it's just, it's so funny and so neat to see how last year, you know, she's on this stage doing this benefit concert with us, singing about being a random black girl and it very much being a part of her backstory. And then a year later, she's making history by being the first Glenda on Broadway. It's just this weird kind of metaphysical situation that, and she's, it's wonderful to see somebody so kind and sweet have such a wonderful turn of events. So this is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're excited. That's kind of exploded all over the Broadway community. Yeah. It's really awesome.
Big deal. Okay, so then we're just going to talk about a few shows we're excited about, apart from the ones that we already talked about.
Yes.
So I want to talk about Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
So Oklahoma, that was playing at St. Anne's Warehouse.
Oklahoma.
I saw it. It was really great. And actually...
That's someone like it's in a barn?
Yes.
Okay.
And so it's in a barn, and so the way it was set up at St. Anne's Warehouse, which I have no idea how they're doing this. I'm trying to remember because I get the theater that Hadestown is going into and the theater that Oklahoma is going to mixed up because they were both actually in a round.
Okay.
Okay, Hadestown's going into the Walter Kerr.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes because that was in the round. And then, so that definitely means Oklahoma's going into Circle in the Square, which is perfect.
Yeah.
Because the way that they built the set was such that because Allie, who played Ado Annie, she is wheelchair bound. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. She's awesome.
I bet. Cool. She's
awesome. So. The way that they built out the set is like the first row was level with the stage, right? Mm. So St. Anne's Warehouse is probably my favorite space in the city because it's a chameleon, and if people use it correctly, it can absolutely be another character in the show.
Yeah.
And I feel like this production of Oklahoma really used the space extraordinarily well. So they do make the first row of seats level to the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So she can go absolutely anywhere that she wants to. And then it's like everybody is at this kind of like clam bake sort of picnic situation. And they had like crock pots all over. And then at intermission, you get chili and cornbread.
Oh, that's
like,
fun.
It's not done with like a pit, right? So... a few actors in the show play instruments, and they do have like a very small orchestra that was at one end. It's just really fun, innovative, and well done.
Nice.
And it's really also nice to see that it's inclusive.
Yeah.
Inclusive, you know, ethnically, and then also. With ability levels, it's fun. So I'm super excited it got the okay to move to Broadway.
That's awesome.
It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. And then I'm also excited about everybody. I don't even really need to talk about Be More Chill is coming to Broadway.
I'm kind of excited about that one.
That's like the backstory of how it got to Broadway is probably one of my favorite things because the people got it to Broadway.
Well, like, that's really how that happened. Maybe we should save that for an episode at some point.
Yeah, that would be a fun new works episode. Yeah. It's really, really cool.
There's, which one is Be More Chill? Because there's another one that I'm trying, that's like two like Dungeons and Dragons playing guys. Do you know what sounds I'm talking about?
Because I listened to the Be More Chill cast recording, the... It's not even really the off-Broadway one because it was like the concert that they did.
Mm-hmm.
The recording of that.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's like these two nerdy guys. One of them is able to, I think it was like a computer program that can make him cool.
Okay.
And so that's sort of where the Be More Chill comes from.
That one, actually, that one does excite me because I saw that. Oh, I was reading someone else's playbill. My employer just went to My Fair Lady. So I was reading through the playbill, and of course, yes. At the end of the playbill, they have just lists of shows that are going on. Mm-hmm. And of course, this was at Lincoln Center, so it had like all of the synopsis as well.
Right.
And so in that, it Be More Chill was listed, and it was one of those shows where I was like, oh, yeah, I could get behind that. I could definitely go see that and enjoy it.
Oh, God.
Well, okay. I guess you don't want the dog to come up and visit. Relax, Lulu. Chloe, just stay there. You were doing just fine where you were.
Okay, so let me move my...
Wait, listen. I think you laughed over it. It's cool. That was my water bottle for anyone who didn't hear it.
And then the last show actually we'll talk about today is... Oh, no, there's two I have to talk about. Okay. I've got to talk about Choir Boy.
Mm.
And the reason I have to talk about Choir Boy is because I took a directing course at HB Studio this past summer. And my teacher was Austin Pendleton, and he is in Choir Boy on Broadway right now.
Awesome.
And so I desperately want to see it. It's gotten fantastic reviews. It is a play with music and choreography. And it's
What's the difference between a play with music and choreography and a musical?
It's not...
I've never gotten it.
So, I would say, okay, so I would say, like, usually with a musical, there's way more songs.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, like, the songs help tell the story.
Oh, I see.
Whereas with, like, a play.
It just interrupts whatever is, okay.
And so because Choir Boy is basically, like, it's a choir of black young men, and so that's where the music piece comes in.
Okay.
And then the dancing, I think, also has to do with... I've not seen it because it was off-Broadway. I didn't see that production. And so that would be the difference. Because the only... Okay. The play... Well, I've seen a few plays with music. But the one that I remember on Broadway very strongly that I saw last was End of the Rainbow, the Judy Garland one.
Yeah.
And so in that context, it... she would have these concerts, right? So the woman playing Judy, which she was...
I heard really great things.
Amazing. Like, I am... my mind is still blown from what we saw. And that was years ago.
Awesome.
Like, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's where the music came in, was like she was doing concerts, and so that's when you would have music. So it's a similar situation.
Yeah.
So, the playwright wrote Moonlight, which won the Oscar for Best Picture.
Okay.
You're talking 2-3 years ago? That was the La La Land year?
La La Land.
Yeah. La La Land. and then the other thing that I'm looking forward to, which I may have talked about in earlier episodes, is Hadestown.
Yeah.
And so,
what is this one? Tell me about it.
So, Hadestown is based in Greek mythology. And it is, I don't want to say the names wrong, you guys, so just give me a second to pull. Orpheus and Eurydice, is that how you
Eurydice,
say it?
Eurydice, I think.
Eurydice. See, this is why I had to look it up.
No, it's cool.
And King Hades and his wife Persephone.
Okay.
And so Chris Sullivan, who's now in This Is Us, was in it. He was the narrator. And then originally Patrick Page was in it also, which I'm pretty sure he's coming to Broadway is what I feel like I've read. He is going to come with it. Rachel Chafkin did the off-Broadway one, and it looks like she's also going to do the Broadway one. It's in London right now. It may have closed by now, but it was doing a London run. And so I actually didn't think it was going to make this season because of the London run.
Right.
And they were talking about pushing it off. Same with Moulin Rouge. That was going to like be pushed off a little bit longer. But then once on this island put up its closing notice, then the space became available for Oklahoma. And there were like a few other shows that last minute gave closing notices like in November.
Okay.
So then that gave opportunity for other shows that were going to wait another year to be able to come into those spaces.
Okay.
So There. Now I'm feeling a little bit better about the season because before some of these shows announced they were opening, I was like, man, this is like a pathetic year. Mm. This is not enjoyable.
Well, I feel like there's always kind of a waffle back and forth. Like, yeah. This year is musicals year, and this year is, and then the next year is plays. Right, and then, right. You know, like, it always kind of flips back and forth.
Right. I still feel like this year the plays are more exciting, mm-hmm. than the, most of the musicals. Like, there just aren't that many original musicals not based on a movie.
Yes.
Or, a jukebox musical.
Right.
They're just not that many.
No, it's true.
So it is really a stronger year for plays.
Yes.
So that's it. We'll talk about plays next intermission. So we'll do that another time.
Okay.
Yeah. Except I had to talk about Choir Boy, but I think it fits because it was a play. It's a play with music. Yeah. And choreography.
All right. Okay. Geeksies, welcome
Bye.
Back.
Thank Bye. You so much.
Yes. Bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold.